not fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me for your some carry their God. You feed me, Lord, when some feed their God. Hey, oh, you fought for me when some fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me clay. Oh, na, 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 na. You know they use me clay. Sing with me, you carry.
You carry me. Somebody their God.
You feed me, Lord.
You feed me, Lord. When some feed their God.
You fought for me.
You fought for me. When some fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me play. Oh, na, 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 na. You know they use me play. Oh.
To the chorus, life giver. Oh,
life.
Hey, destiny,
destiny help us, mountain move.
the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. No sound here. Father, we are thankful for your presence. Every day, we come into a deeper realization that without you, we can do nothing. You are our helper. And Lord God, we ask that you will do the extraordinary things that need to be accomplished. So, Father, that we may fulfill your divine purpose, your divine assignment, your will in the earth as it is in heaven. We receive keys of the kingdom, and we activate those keys supernaturally by your grace, that we may live life to the full, enjoying your strength, enjoying your wisdom, your knowledge and understanding, and putting into place all that need to be set in order. We subdue everything that stands against the authority of your word this very moment, as we declare to the powers of darkness, the Lord our God rebukes you. Loose your hold and be gone from us, even now. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here tonight for our study. We are in the book of Proverbs. If you may, go to the book of Proverbs. We are in the 11th chapter. Proverbs 11. And we got through to verse 13, and we are starting verse 14 today, I believe. The word of the Lord here in Proverbs 11 and 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. It's a powerful thought. Where no counsel is, the people fall. We all need counsel. Counsel is good advice. Many times you know what you want to do, but you don't know how to accomplish it. Or you don't have all the information that you need. And that's when the power of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding manifested through godly counsel comes to play. You want to do business? You need counsel. Godly counsel. Counsel, you know, that's why a lot of CEOs, business managers, hire people that just counsel them. Whether it's counsel to help you get the cobwebs off so that you can make proper decision, or counsel that gives you an idea on how to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. Everybody needs counsel. Everybody needs somebody that is by them seeking out the well-being of the person that wants to be counseled. Now, there are counsels or counselors that are there just for their own benefit. That's not the kind of counsel you need. You need counsel that will help you zero on issues better, see things clearly, get the cobwebs off. So when you're not clear about something, you need a counselor. Now, the counselor doesn't necessarily always give you the advice. Sometimes, I've stated it, but again and again, let me state it again. They ask you the questions that you're not willing to ask yourself. They dig in, ask you things. Because ultimately, the decision is going to have to be yours, or you become a slave to other people's ideas. And when you don't have your own ideas, you become somebody else's puppet. So a good counselor will ask you the questions you need to be asked so that you come up with something that you take ownership of. Because if the counsel is only about giving you ideas, then you have no full ownership of it. If anything goes wrong, you have somebody to blame. And when you have a fall guy, well, you're not going to go all the way through, because there's always a fall guy, and that fall guy is your excuse. You have to have counsel. And yet the Word of God says, where no counsel is, the people fall. They trip. They fall down. They hurt themselves. But in the multitude, this is powerful, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, what is this that it's talking about? You mean I need to have a whole bunch of people speaking into my ear? How am I going to know what is the right thing to do? Well, the thought being postulated and pushed here is that in the midst of all of these ideas, you have the opportunity, because you ultimately are going to be the decision maker. You can, okay, I hear where you're coming from. What if this happens? Oh, that person says this, and this person says that. You can pull all these ideas and come up with an idea that is purely yours. It's many ideas, but these many counselors is not there for confusion. It's rather there for you to be able to make the right decision safely. You have all these counselors, and you can also ask the counselors questions, and the Bible says there is going to be safety. You're going to save yourself a lot of issues because all the necessary information will come. Now, the greatest counselor of all is the Lord. The Bible says, for unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. So God ultimately is our counselor. Every counsel that you receive must be filtered through the everlasting Word of God. If it is a counsel that is contradicting the Word of God, shoot it, shun it, get rid of it. It's not for you. The counsel that comes from God through the people that you are surrounding yourself with becomes important. Now, having said all of that, it is important, since the counsel of the Lord, he's the Wonderful Counselor, then The people that God is going to use to help counsel you to come to safety, you need to pray for. Father, I pray for my destiny helpers, that they will speak into my life with a wisdom that comes from above, not in the carnality of the flesh, not in the carnality of foolish experiences, but in the wisdom of your spirit. Let your hand be upon them. Let me only have godly counselors. Job had counselors. And they were there just to criticize and to humiliate him. That's not the kind of counsel you need. The counselor that we need is a kind of counsel that will help us make right decisions. And everyone needs somebody they can speak to. You can speak to confidentially, and they keep what you're saying to heart. They pray with, they pray for, they stand with you, they desire the best for you. They're not there to tear you down, humiliate you, but rather to speak life into you. Verse 15 goes on and says, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. He that is surety. This is about signing off for somebody that you don't know. Somebody comes and says, the bank wants me to get somebody to sign with me. I'm going to pay. I will not break the word. I'm not this. Just sign for me. Co-sign for me. And the word of God says, don't do it. Don't go about signing documents and becoming a shorty. He says, you're going to smart for it. That word smart there is not you're going to be wise. But it's a word that signifies that you're going to shout. You're going to cry. You're going to wail. You know, don't do it. But so many people do crazy things like that. I think he's going to do it. Listen. I've learned, if you're going to give somebody a loan from your pocket, not the bank, you are going to, can you spot me $100? I'm going to pay it next week. A wise word. Pray for that person to be able to keep their word. Because if they're short right now, how are they going to do it next week? What is going to be different next week that's going to be able to make them pay you back? So you just basically settle it. I'm giving this money away. I'm not counting on it. And if it comes back, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I got my money back. Or else, you're going to become bitter and create an enemy. It is better for you to say, no, I don't have that money for you, than for you to say, I'm going to give it to you, and then next week pay me back. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. What did I say? Forget it. You're going to just frustrate yourself unnecessarily. If you have it to give, give it. And know that you have given it, and if they don't pay back, it is fine. I've given it. That's how you have to. And that's a way for you not to create enemies for yourself, because you've already addressed that situation. He says, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. If you, the person who hates cosigning, that person is going to be okay. Don't cosign. Let me ask a question again. What did I just say? Don't cosign. Don't do it. If you're in business, don't cosign. You know, only cosign something that you know you have control over. That if a person does not honor that deal, that you are willing and ready and capable of taking care of it without getting yourself all wound up and frustrated. I hold this so strongly that I even told my children, don't come asking me to co-sign. Because I'm not co-signing anything. I'd rather give you the money and trust that you will pay me back, but co-signing, forget it. If you default, I can handle it. Not that I'm good. But that's the way you got to deal. Because if you don't, you're going to frustrate yourself. You're going to destroy relationships. You're going to have people running and hiding from you. I've seen people do that over and over and over again. You know, it's important. That you make a decision and be willing to follow through with it. There are people that ask me for stuff, I give it to them. He says, I'm going to do it tomorrow, I'm going to pay you back tomorrow. Okay. I give it tomorrow. Oh, I don't have it now. Can I do it next week? Okay. And then they start running and hiding. Nobody's pursuing you. I'm not pursuing you. I'm not calling you. I'm bugging you. Why am I not doing that? Because I already decided already a long time ago. They need it. And in fact, there are situations where a person is returning it, and I say, keep it. You want me to keep? Yeah, keep it. Because I know now that you're paying it, you are that amount in the hole again, and you're going to go find somebody else to go borrow that money from, or borrow this from. Take it. Let that help you. And that's how you got to deal. Take the power away. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if somebody comes asking you for a shirt, give him your coat also. If you say, go 1 mile, go 2 miles, because they definitely got something that is troubling them. But what the Lord is saying is, don't go co-sign and be third party to something. And when they cannot get it from that person, they come after you. Remove yourself from that. Have control over the decisions you make. It's very important. It's extremely important. And that same point is going to come across again and again and again in the book of Proverbs. Be careful what decisions you make, and be willing to be able to stand the ground if the other person does not do their part. Be able to have the bowels of mercy and continue on. That's important. Verse 16, it seems to be shifting off, but it's really not. It says, a gracious woman retaineth honor. A gracious woman retaineth honor. And strong men retain riches. Wow. Wow. That's powerful. A gracious woman retaineth honor. In essence, a gracious woman has honor and keeps it. When you are honored, keep it. How? By recognizing who you are. Know who you are. Because all kinds of people want to strip you of the honor that you are carrying in life. And then it says, and strong men retain riches, meaning they have the riches, but are they going to keep it? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to retain it and be able to pass it on? Too many people, because they don't have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, lose sight of that. And if you are a person who is living in the world of co-signing, you're not going to retain riches. You're not going to retain it. It will be there and it will be gone. Not because of anything you did, but because of something somebody else did. And now they are the ones in the driver's seat. And when they are wanting whatever it is that they're wanting, and you're giving it to them, in their mind they're thinking, look at this fool. Look at this fool. He really thinks I'm going to come back and pay. And reality is this. Most times when people co-sign, because they know they have a fall guy, they might pay the first month, they might pay the second month, they might even pay the third month, and then they start having excuses. And before you know it, you're on the hook. The bank is calling you, or some organization is calling you for whatever it is that you co-signed for. But strong men know how to say yes and know how to say no. Yes, I will do it. No. No. I said no. It doesn't matter whether you cry in blood. No. As a strong man. This is, you know, I think it was a few weeks back, I was talking about something in line with this, what I'm saying right now. That you can have $100 in your pocket and somebody comes and says to you, can you spot me 20? And you say, no, I don't have that. And then later on they see you spending 50 somewhere. Say, hey, I just saw you asked you for 20, you said you didn't have any. And now you're spending 50 over here. You lied to me. No, I didn't lie to you. My 50 had an assignment. My 100 had an assignment. And that assignment was not including you this very moment. So therefore, no. But if it doesn't have an assignment, or the assignment is flexible and I can do without that, and I choose to help, that is the ability to say no to myself so I can say yes to somebody, because their need is greater than mine. That makes sense? So you have to always have the presence of mind. Presence of mind to know when to say yes, when to say no. Because if you don't, somebody is going to be running your life. And you will be running it in the direction that you don't want, you don't desire. Because you've not made any decisions for yourself on what your plans are, your purpose, your destiny, your whatever. But together we can work towards a common goal. And that particular goal is first, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. You retain your riches. In the house of the righteous are wealth and riches. Man who has a right standing, and it will be retained. It will be kept. It will not diminish. Now, in line to all of that, the strong man hold him strong and all of that, the balance, I already talked about it, the balance is this: the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. When you are merciful, ultimately, you're helping yourself. If you are able to say no to yourself so you can say yes to somebody else, it is to your own benefit. In essence, what I said earlier, no shortage. Make certain that whatever it is that you're given, that you can part with it. It is this: that you are calling every event, every happening, every given from your life into someone else's life as a seed that you're going to get a harvest from. You're going to be rewarded by God. So the Word of God says the person who gives a loan to the poor or helps the poor is making a loan to God. Loaning God something. Because you are doing his service. You're becoming an answer to somebody's cry. You're extending mercy. It says that person is doing good to his own soul. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. It's interesting. The merciful person is doing good to his soul, but a cruel person is troubling his own flesh. What does that mean? Why doesn't it say, but he that is cruel troubleth his own soul? Why is it going flesh? Well, because the soul is an area that God wants protected. Protected in the sense that the Word of God says the soul that sinneth, it dies. It is separated from God. But when it's talking about cruelty here, it's saying it's going to affect you physically. You're acting cruelly. I don't want it to attack your soul. But there's going to be a consequence, and it's going to show up in your body. when it shows up in your body, you have the chance of fighting back, reflecting, rethinking the decisions you've made, and recalibrating. When it messes with your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect is affected. And God says to us through Solomon, if you act cruelly, it's going to show up in your body. You're going to get sick. You're going to get weak. You're going to get all of these natural problems. Now, ultimately, whatever it is that's happening to your physical body has a funny way of migrating to your soul, to the way you think, to the way you act. And God is saying, antidote to keeping your soul in a good place, extend mercy. Be merciful to other people. Show mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is that act of grace that you extend to people, not because they deserve it, but because you elect to extend it. You don't deserve mercy, but I extend it. So for the person that is running away because I loaned them some money and they're not paying it, just extend mercy. Don't make them feel worse than they already feel. Because them feeling badly does not get them out. It is the joy of the Lord that's our strength. It's best to, you know, see the person and says, man, you don't have to run from me. I know you're going through a hard time right now. You're struggling. And I know you pay me back when you're able to. You're going to do that, right? Yeah, you're going to pay me back, right? Yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm not going to run after you. Just make sure you do your part. Because if I have it, I can reinvest it in another person's life. I can continue to pay it forward. Or you know what? Don't worry about that stuff. Pay it forward. Help somebody else. Because I see that I don't need it. I'm not dying because I don't have it. No. Let's live. That's good. But if you're cruel, you're going to trouble your own self. But troubled his own flesh is not just dealing with you, your flesh. It's also addressing your flesh in terms of your seed, your children. You're mean to other people, somebody's going to be mean to your children, mean to whoever it is that is hanging around you. It just feeds itself. And God says, stay away from that, be merciful. You know, you never know how God will minister to you when you do good. You think, I did good to this person, good is going to come from this person. No, God is going to make somebody over here to be good to you. You know, You know, sometimes I go to a store, I want something that I really need, and I get there. How much of this do you want? I say, I want this. And I'm ready to pay. And they say, no, your money's not good here. Just take it. They just handed me $300 worth of goods for free. And I'm thinking, what did I do to deserve this? I don't even know you that well. What is this? Then I remember, oh, there is a God who sees and knows everything and rewards you when you're not expecting it. He's just that kind of a God. Amen? 18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Wicked people work deceitfully. But watch the next thing. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Oh, I should have just read that. Wicked people work deceitfully. Deceitful work. Now, what's deceit here? Deceit is that act of deceiving. Deceiving how? By presenting a lie as a truth. That's deceit. They say, I'm doing such and such and such, and that's what you expect, but no, that's not what they did. That's not what they've committed to. That's not what they're demonstrating. All they're doing is evil. You know, last week we talked about the false balance. And I remember sharing about people with in Africa, sometimes you can buy a bag of rice. You know, take 10 kilograms, 5 kilograms, whatever. But sometimes that same rice, for those who cannot afford to buy a whole bag, they might have a cup, a milk cup, some little container, and they'll put the rice in there and pour it. And that's supposed to be one cup. But some people cheat, and they will beat the bottom part of that cup down. Or else, they might put something, maybe styrofoam at the bottom of that cup, and put another plate on top of that cup, so it's not as deep as it should be. And they feel that. And because you're not watching and they're moving so fast, 1, 2, 3, 4. They've given you 4 cups, but really it was 2 cups or 2.5 cups. And you're paying for that. Deceit. Deceit. Wicked people work out deceitfully. Today, if you have a cell phone, for example, you see the actions of deceitful people, scammers. They are doing all kinds of things to scam. You have to be careful not to say yes on your phone to somebody that you don't know. A strange number. Am I speaking to so-and-so? And your answer should be, yes. Don't say that. So what do you say? Well, for me, I say, this is he. That's what I say. This is he. You can't do anything with this is he. and I keep my words short. And if you call me and I don't hear your voice right away, I know that's a strange call. Hang up. There are all kinds of deceit. People sit down and think about crazy ways of scamming people. He's working a deceitful work. And tomorrow, when things start falling apart in their lives, they wonder what happened. So you've deceived people and you've gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now you're in the hospital, sick with cancer, dying. Now where are you going to go with all that money that you deceived people, ripped elderly people of their funds and their monies, and you think you are getting ahead, you're smart. You've gone and you've bought all kinds of nice stuff, nice vehicle, and you're driving it, and bang, poof, accident, amputation. Enjoy your money. Deceitful work will have its reward. If you don't get it here, you know where you're going. H-E double hockey sticks. Don't do it. Don't join with people that are deceitful, deceiving people. If you're doing business, don't be deceitful. Give to the customer what they ask for. Nobody told you how much you should charge. You want to charge 1,000% for what you supplied and you're willing to pay it? That's you and your conscience. But they agree to pay that? They agree to pay that. But don't tell people, I'm providing you this, and then you go buy something really cheap and that's going to fall apart, and present it as the real thing. That is the Ananias and Sapphira syndrome. Deceit. Ananias and Sapphira worked a deceitful work, and they died. True? Too many people don't know why what happened to them is happening. All they need to do sometimes is just sit down and say, okay, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Why is this happening? Is there something that I did to bring this into my life? And it's not true that it's always that way, but it's a good place to start. And since we have the word of the Lord that says to us that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and that we can ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness and thank God for your deliverance and redemption and go on. Do right. To him that soweth righteousness, sow righteousness, shall be a sure reward. There is going to be a reward. There is going to be a reward. You're doing righteousness, you're going to be rewarded. It is guaranteed by the word of God that that's what is going to happen. The word of God continues, says, righteousness tendeth to life. Righteousness moves towards living life to the full. So he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. You're pursuing evil? He says, you're pursuing it to your own death. You're pursuing righteousness? It's going to lead to life, more life, and more life. And not just life for living's sake, but life to be enjoyed. To be enjoyed. And so we have much to give God thanks for. So God, I thank you for giving me the gift of righteousness that tended to life. Now, that's a very interesting statement, tended to life. It is not a word that is in the original script. So it's basically as righteousness to life is what's in the script. But so that we can understand it, it says tended to life. But remember the statement we made earlier about the person who's practicing or working wickedness troubled his own flesh. And I said it's not just your flesh, but your flesh, those that pertain to you. It can affect your children. In fact, the Word of God says, to the fourth generation. So there are things that you and I may be dealing with that's as a result of whatever it is that our father's father did. Now, in this case, as righteousness tended to life, as righteousness leads towards fullness of life, this word here is giving us a sense of righteousness serves life. What life? Every life around you. It tends to it. It provides for it. For in the house of the righteous is what? Wealth and what? Riches. Riches is about dollars and property. But wealth encompasses that. Wealth is family, relationships. That's wealth. When you have wealth, you don't necessarily have to have money. Because wealth is beyond money. Wealth is relationships. Wealth is, I say, I need water to drink, and people will go flying out there to go get me the water. That's what happened to David. So I'm thirsty. And 12 of his guys go to war, and they bang, bang, killed all kinds of people to get water from a well to bring to him. And they give it to him. He says, where did you get this water from? we knocked off some people and got water from the special well over there. You did what? He said, I can't drink this. This is blood. I can drink this. Now, the fact that people were willing to go, not because he sent them, but they were willing to go and bring whatever it is, that's wealth. Right there. That's wealth. He didn't have it, but he had it. Every one of us need to have that grace. The grace of wealth and riches in our lives. And people are willing to do all kinds of things to make certain that you enjoy the good life, as wealth. And that impacts everybody around you. When you have true wealth and true riches, everybody around you is impacted directly or indirectly. And we need to have that in our lives Amen? So, let us stop there today. And let's ask God for the wisdom to make right decisions, because we have proper counsel, proper counselors, right decisions, because we follow through with the word of God and are strong people. A strong man retaineth riches. A gracious. And remember, grace is strength. It's in a sense power of strength to do something I cannot do by myself. That's grace. That's the hesed of God. A gracious woman retaineth honor, keeps honor. And that is the capacity to be able to use what we've got. A gracious woman does not get seduced to doing the wrong thing. She retains her honor. I don't do that. I will not address the situation this way. I will do the right thing. Now, Eve did not exercise the grace of God on her life. And so she did not retain honor. Adam did not stay strong and therefore did not retain riches. Do you understand? Is that clear? Talk to me. Okay. And that point simply is this: honor and riches are provided. The issue is keeping it. Okay. Remember the lesson that we've been learning the last few weeks about asking to receive. Speaking or calling or saying, better yet, is the way to have. And then we said, having does not mean keeping. The level of keeping is taking the seat of the commander. Remember we talked about that? You have to command. And the way you command is by giving whatever it is that you have an assignment. Yes? Okay. That same principle is all operational in the verses that we just addressed. A strong man retain it. How? By speaking the word of command, by giving an assignment. That's how. So every day, the Lord calls us to this particular aspect of living. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, pray, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And then it says, key, give us this day our daily bread. And as we've looked at the word of God, we came to the conclusion that the daily bread is the daily assignment. So that brings me to this. Every day when you wake up, while you're giving thanks to the Lord for giving you life, ask this simple question. Lord, what is your assignment for me today? And watch this. I think what I'm going to say now might be the most important thing I've said, because it captures the full essence of it. When you know what your daily assignment is, be resolute about fulfilling that assignment, accomplishing what God has for you, and be able to say yes or no based on what you know to be the truth that God has for you for that day. Amen? Secondly, if you know what it is that you're supposed to do, it is best practice to finish number one, priority number one, before you go to priority number two, before you go to priority number three. Stop skipping all over the place, because skipping all over the place will mean that at the end of the day, that maybe you've not finished what it is that you were supposed to do. It is a heart discipline. Today I'm going to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And anything else that is trying to crowd into this is going to have to be filtered based on all of this. Now, that's not about you becoming a robot, but rather you being disciplined. Now, if I'm supposed to do this, 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 and there's an emergency, an emergency is an emergency. You take care of what the emergency is. But if you don't have a plan is going to be made for you. That's the point. So regiment yourself to know what it is that you want to do and be able to accomplish that while you're still flexible. You don't want to be inflexible, because if you're inflexible, you will break. Be flexible, but know exactly what it is that you need to do. The Lord says this to us. Stop worrying about it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all the other things that you were going to worry about is going to be brought into your plate. Just know what you need to do. Focus on that. Be that straight arrow. Don't be curved. Because if you have an arrow that is curved and you shoot it, which direction is it going to go? Straight. That's what you want. Focus. That's what you want. Not all over the place. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that daily you guide us. Daily you grant to us the wisdom and insight that we need to make right decisions. We pray this not only for ourselves, we pray this for our fellow saints, we pray this for our leaders, spiritual and natural leaders, and Father, that they will do the right thing, seek the right purposes, and stop messing around. Father, I just pray right now for President Biden. Ask, O God, for his protection. That the evil agenda of wicked men be brought to naught. I pray for that nation, the United States of America, right now, that you be God in their lives, and that you'll protect from the evil activities of the enemy that want to throw that nation into a state of chaos. Deliverance, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for our nation, Canada, that you will intervene concerning all the issues facing us as a nation. Father, clean house. Clean the seat of government. Clean the household of faith and fight for your people. We thank you for the privilege of service. And we thank you, Lord, that your glory is even now being revealed in our lives. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. If there's anyone on Zoom, I'd like to say hello to them. but let us all honor God with our giving, and may the Lord guide us and help us. Praise the Lord. Okay. I have quite a few people out there. Can I see them on this screen? Is that not possible? Yes, I can see them on this screen. Can you show them to me here? Because it's quite dull over there, and I can't see. I don't have any eyes behind my back. Anything you can do? Help me. Okay. I have Brother John. I have Sister Carol.